Hi, this is Ed Long at Information Farm. IAM's going to be giving an analysis for intelligence that we've received from what we're calling fringe media. And we're going to start with Aaron McCollum, an interview he did with Project Camelot back in January of this year, 2010. He's in his early 30s. He's in the military for 10 years in the United States Coast Guard. And he says that was a cover for his work in black op projects.
Okay, here we go.
I want to make this perfectly clear. What I'm about to let everyone know is based on actual facts, articles, also contacts, absolute reliable contacts who have contacted me within the past month, overwhelming amount of information, and this is also based directly on operations that I was a part of, that I've regained some memories back from July of 2008 until the beginning of March of 2009. Operations I was a part of absolutely relate directly to what is happening now in the Gulf of Aden. It's actually been going on for quite a while, but it's just now, for whatever reason, it's leaked out, or they have allowed it to leak out, I should say, that there has been major military ship movement happening in the Gulf of Aden in a specific location where they are actually hundreds of ships right now circling a designated area of open water. We're talking Russian warships, Chinese warships, Japanese warships, Australia, Germany, UK. The list goes on and on. Even designated European Union ships, UN ships, Blackwater, which is now Z, has a ship there right now. If anybody is aware, Japan has not actually had warships leave their area of operation for military-type action in decades. Same with China. China is very much about keeping their warships close. So this is huge. On top of it, there is a research company that specifically deals in genetics and DNA that are specifically doing research in alien human DNA research and with the genetics. That is going on at the same time there as well. On top of it, there's a lot of piracy going on there. The Somali pirates and all that. It's absolutely false flag operations. The reason they're doing that is to gain fear of everyone in that area, to keep them away. It's a very good manageable way, method, to keep just regular people, the public, away from that area. Because what's a better way to invoke fear but piracy and terrorism? That comes to what happened at Fort Hood.
Now, we want to bring Ion in to comment on this. The first impression, I've never heard this guy before, there's a lot of stress in his voice. Maybe he's not comfortable speaking in public, but it's a kind of stress that may not be caused by him being uncomfortable speaking. There's just an odd stress, so I don't respond well to that. But that may be just being too sensitive. Let's just go with what he said. This reminds me of what we discussed on Cashflow with Ion, the events leading up to February 11th, when the Iranian government announced boldly that they were going to develop nuclear power. Ion had been discussing a few weeks before that some American aircraft carrier had disappeared into a portal.
A gate.
Yeah, disappeared into a gate. And that happened on the 11th, that day the announcement was made?
Yes.
Okay, so if you wanted to hear more about that, listen to a cash flow before February 11th, a week or two before. Because we were building up to February 11th, because Ion had told us something like this gate activity would happen. And it did happen, and the aircraft carrier disappeared. My question is Aaron McCollum talking about that stuff that we were discussing?
Well, we can't speak to what he was speaking regarding.
Let's look at the words. He says, I've regained some memories back. Why did he lose his memories?
Here we go. This portion of the program is brought from the white ops. We won't have to go through the black ops, and we won't have to have all this concealed information and all this sidebar of sidewinding. Let's just lay it out for what it is. What's happening, in which we've already kind of been clear, regarding the whole process of this fear campaign going on in the Sea of Aden. Who in the world goes to the Sea of Aden anyway that they need to be fearful of anything going on there? It's a sea, for Pete's sake. What's the point? if you're sailing, they haven't discouraged anything. And those pirates, they're not after regular Joes running around there. They're after all the other stuff that's going on as this quote-unquote cover-up. You know, they've got satellite imagery that can tell when anybody has flatulence anywhere on the planet. So there's supposed to be some type of fear campaign, a multicultural, multi-world conspiracy with China and Russia and Japan and Lord, suffering cats, everybody. There's not enough water in the Sea of Aden to hold that many boats.
So you're saying those boats aren't there?
Well, I'm sure they have traffic, but the way it's pictured or being portrayed out, it's the Bay of Pigs, for goodness sake.
Ed, where does he talk about the portal or the gate stuff? Didn't you say he talks about that?
Yes, he does. He's saying that the Gulf of Aden is a stargate, and the purpose of having these warships from the various countries there is they don't want anyone else to be investigating the stargate.
Not a stargate, it's just a gate. And the gate connects parallel worlds. And they lost a battleship in that portal, and they announced that beforehand, that big, tricky business was going to go on this certain date, which set everybody from yellow to high red alert, and they've still lost the battleship, and they can't find it, and it's floating around the Sea of Aden, too, but in a different world. And all the conspiracy going on around it is, who sank my battleship, and if they did, why can't we find it?
Is there a gate in the Gulf of Aden?
Well, of course there is. There's lots of them.
Is there only 9 gates?
No. The 9th gate is just a reference. Many gates.
So,
even more portals.
So where is the gate in the Gulf of Aden?
It actually varies a bit, Bob. After you activate a gate, it can vary. There's not a latitude, longitude that you would use to come to that place. It's your place of connection. Some people call it a vortex or a wormhole or different things. They don't know what they're talking about. But we're kind, loving, and patient. We let them do whatever they want to do. Once you understand and overlay this concept that there is a gate, number one, then as you're traveling and petering around in the Sea of Aden, you'll see a shimmer. And that shimmer or anomaly, they talk about it with the Bermuda Triangle. The systems all kind of go crazy, and your altimeter goes crazy. I don't know what you need an altimeter on a battleship for, but apparently they got them. But anyhow, the electronics on your vessel kind of goes awry. So you could be dead still, and it'll say you're going 20 knots, which is pretty swift for a big boat. Then the next thing you know, it'll dissipate, and it'll be a change, and you're through that gate. And what happens is then you're there, and you're no longer in this realm or world, and you're actually in yet another world. And what they're all stirred about is they don't know where it is, they don't know where the gate is, they don't know how to activate it, they don't know how they got through it, and they don't want anything else to come through it or back or forth through it. It's what your military action is regarding.
Did you just say they don't want anybody going through it?
And they don't know where it is.
Can you give the coordinates, or it's not like that?
It moves. It moves.
Moves around. So Aaron McCollum, is he thinking about that gate? Is this what he's talking about?
Well, he regained memories regarding it. So this is first-hand, documented, provable fact, and yet he's just regained memory regarding it. That seems a bit auspicious, don't you think?
Is he an MKUltra victim, Ed? Is that what he says?
He says he's participated in a project called Project Talent and also an MKUltra as well.
He acknowledges that he had his memories erased temporarily or something.
That is what it sounds like.
So that means that he puffed the peace pipe and drank the Kool-Aid? Is that what you're referring to?
We're not sure. What is it? You're not sure. So do you see him having had some external agency erase his memories? Not, you know, puff or anything.
Well, what do you call that? The only way that'd be possible in the human condition is if you gave your power to it. The only way that would be even in any realm of possibility would be that you yielded and gave your power to it. And if you wholeheartedly gave your power to it, why in the world would you be on something else now exposing it?
You can only get brainwashed if you give your power to it?
Absolutely.
So he gave his power to something if he was brainwashed?
Indeed. And if he was effectively brainwashed, why would he have the tactility to come now and say, I have the proof of the parts that I was allowed to remember. I have information to share of the parts they, we don't know who this innocuous they is, but this they have allowed it to leak out. And since they have let it leak out, then I can speak of it vaguely.
What do you see was happening in his life from July 2008 until the beginning of March 2009? What do you see he was engaged in?
A lot of fear.
But was he employed? Was he in an institution, a military institution in some form?
Not specifically.
Why was he afraid?
We have no idea. Fear begets fear.
You don't see him in an obvious role in some institution or some function in that period?
No.
You see him by himself?
See, he's creating, so it's his own place in the confines of his mind. You know, he can go all over the place. All humans can. And we're not necessarily disputing the wordy words that are used. We're just trying to calculate what can be gained from those words shared. There's too many dynamics that don't get you anywhere. That's all. And if there is a story, if it's that big of a conspiracy, why would it be that he's the one that has the answer?
So, Ed, he was among the conspirators? Is that what he says?
No.
How does he know this? How does he say he knows this information?
At the beginning, he says he wants to let everyone know that the information he's given is based on actual facts, articles, and contacts, absolute reliable contacts, who have contacted him within the past month, which would have been probably December, January, with an overwhelming amount of information. And he says it's based directly on operations that he was a part of, and that he's regained some memories back from July of 2008 to the beginning of March 2009.
Do you see who his contacts were, Ion?
In his defense, Bob, we can't remember. Do you see, the strain of this is that someone came after the fact to give him this concrete information that has now allowed him to have recall regarding it. Is he reporting it, or did he participate in it? If he participated in it, then that's the story, and it ought to be on CNN.
So he says here they are this research company that deals in DNA. They're specifically doing research in alien/human DNA.
No. The only thing alien is the people who live in Arizona.
Do you see any company, any research company on the planet, studying of alien/human DNA?
Well, no, what he was saying is they were mixing the human and alien DNA.
And is there any company doing that?
No, Bob.
So that's not being done. That's an ionic fact.
It's represented through the White Ops program.
So we don't have any documentation to support what Ion's saying, but we're interested in what Ion has to say. Maybe you could produce some physical information in some way. You post a lot of stuff on our Ionic chat forum, so maybe you could show something, if there was any.
And here you go. The point of this conversation is to get to the bottom of it. Well, the wordy words that have been used so far, we didn't get very far to have to get out of. So it's real simple. It's real easy to get documentable, vindicatable, blah, 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 proof of proof, when you're dealing with things outside of any dynamic that has even the realm of possibility. If the human creator, you can do, be, or have anything you want to be, do, or have, all right? But if you can be, do, or have anything, and you come to the full understanding and knowledge of that, then you won't have to go find alien DNA to rip, to make a genome of a new strata of DNA for the humans, you see. It's not required. Just like if you've got a good tractor, you don't have to feed a mule to do your gardening for you. So it's the humans coming into their power negates most all that dynamic, because even if the aliens came to take over and all this stuff, well, if you're a human creator and you come into your power, you could welcome them in, serve them some tea, have a conversation, have no trouble, no issue, no problem. But if the angels bow to you, why in the world would an alien want to engage you?
Don't see the connection.
Well, the connection is, if you come into your power, all this fear of all this inside-outside big brother coming to run you down goes away just about like good digestion. It passes soon enough.
Why did you relate angels to the aliens' attitude toward us?
Because humans, into their place of power, controls every dynamic in their world. Every dynamic. So to run around being afraid of the dark, or afraid of the light, or afraid of the candles, or afraid of the aliens, or afraid of the government, or afraid of the MK Ultras, VD, CD, DB, DB, something, 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 becomes just tragically amiss. It's a myth, a foot, a wrong direction, a false premise. Because if you're into your power, let them blow about whatever they want to blow. It won't affect you. Didn't work out very well for Chicken Little, if you recall.
So what is going on with the Somali pirates?
They're paid to run around and make Maersk crazy.
Make who?
Maersk, the shipping company.
Oh, okay. So they're paid to do that by who?
If you listen to what you've heard so far, it would have to be some subculture alien transplant that the government's running to overrun you in your beds.
Who do you see as paying them?
Who's concerned about the gate?
The Pentagon, I guess.
Well, start right there.
So they're paying people to harass a shipping line, not obviously about the gate.
Well, he's saying that all that is just a campaign to keep the tourists out of the Gulf of Aden.
Is that true?
What tourist goes to the Gulf of Aden? That would be about as parallel to say, we've started a fire at the North Pole to keep the tourists out of there. We've got some rampant polar bears that don't stink, and they're eating. They have the space cue technology, and they're coming to take it off. So whatever you do, stay out of the North Pole, because it's on fire, to keep everybody away. The very idea to even describe it this way would bring everybody that's got a 30-foot yacht into the thing to see what in the world was going on. Now, you're sitting here saying in the Gulf of Aden, there would have to be international waters. You've got Japanese, you've got Australian, you've got Taiwanese, you've got China, you got Russian, and of course, every battalion of the United States government, and we don't even think Canada has any ships, but if they've got any floating, they're probably in there too. And we got three or four from Nigeria. I'm sure they had a few boats, but they swung a leak. But they've got great internet service. They got good internet providers there, so they can run some information. Setting everybody into the Gulf of Aden to do something.
Okay, you said tourists. He doesn't say tourists, but he says regular. It's a very good manageable method to keep just regular people, the public, away from it.
And you go to the Gulf of Aden if it was on fire.
So he ends by saying, that comes to what happened at Fort Hood. Do you know what he says about Fort Hood?
No. Kerry goes on to another topic. That's the topic that's coming up, and they don't return to Fort Hood.
Right.
So I am the ship that went into the Gulf and is into the gate is in another world. Did it go purposely, or was it an accident that it ended up in the gate?
Well, it was an anomaly. It was an anomaly. And many, 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 many are scratching their heads, especially because they put black boxes and GPSs on those battleships. They can find those battleships if they're on anywhere close to terra firma. And yet, it's not only gone, it's evaporated.
That happened on February 11th, I think.
That's correct. Sundown, Aden time.
And the Iranian government knew that was going to happen, so they
announced it in advance.
Did they say that particular statement about a ship disappearing?
They said, everyone in the world will know our power on February 11th.
It turned out they had a psychic medium or something who helped them see this coming. Oh, that reminds me, Ed. You asked me to point out why we're using non-physical, known as ion. Non-physical ion has gone into this, and I knew it from my own experience that intelligence agencies traditionally, it's regular, have used mediums. So if we're doing intelligence analysis here, then we can use mediums just like our competitors do.
And we don't push against anyone. We've been kind and we participate at all levels. When they contact us, we don't have any issue. We love and appreciate all human creators. So regardless of how many venereal diseases letters they have after their title, we don't push against any of them. We love and appreciate them all. And we happily, all day, every day, are trying to do everything to bring them back into their place of power. And if it comes to that end, then of course. So the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and we can't tell the difference.
Well, you would make the point that JW is not a medium. He's a large. Could you expand on a bit about what you mean by large, other than the joke pun on medium?
Well, just that it's conscious. It's conscious. There's no subconscious. There's no unconscious. This is conscious communication with pure positive source energy.
Even though JW is in a state of unconsciousness, sort of, right now.
Not really, no. He can sip on his jasmine tea, and he can walk around outside, and he strolls around.
Isn't he seeing the boxes? The banker's boxes. Isn't that what he sees?
He does. He has complete information, because, see, the connection between energy, your non-physical, meld and becoming in one with the meat sack. And if it doesn't offend the labyrinth of your mind, or at least if you're able to recall it, then all of a sudden, all knowing is available to everyone, not just some guru schmoo-schmoo somewhere out there, or some Senate subcommittee page that overhears the wrong conversation, or any other dynamic that you're trying to run around. And we love George Stephanopoulos, and that's just wonderful. But, you know, even he can get the right story every now and again.
JW, I understand, his experience when ion is coming through him is he's seeing banker's boxes as a question is asked, and then he looks through the files in the banker's boxes. That's what he thinks he's doing.
Yeah, that's his experience, yes. And then as the topic gets voluminous, then the room will fill up, and he moves to another room. And then that room fills up, and there's a lot of space because it's a lot of boxes sometimes. And, Bob, how long do you go? You can go, what, 10, 12 hours without taking a breath?
That'll fill up his whole house.
Well, most of it.
Okay, so he's outside walking around now. Is he seeing the banker's boxes?
No, he's moved back in now. And, yes, they're stacking up.
They don't stack up outside until the house is filled up.
Well, that's never happened yet.
When he was outside, they weren't out there, and it was an interval, an interlude, before he came back in to deal with the next question and boxes that would show up?
Sometimes.
Right.
But he's played in the snow and the rain. He comes in sometimes when he comes back and he's soaking wet because we've had him out in the rain. It's all perfectly delicious.
He's conscious, but he is seeing something different than his family members are seeing. They're not seeing the boxes.
Correct.
He's in an altered state, you could say.
He would say a more complete state.
Okay, that was just a side thing about the use of mediums, that this is not mediumship, you're not entities. You're actually Bob and Ed's non-physical in this particular situation. If we have a client, it's their non-physical that ion is.
That's correct. And this is so simple and easy. It's the whole point of this is that all this protraction and all this gobbledygook stuff that you go through all day, every day, the whole point is solved. Easy breezy peasy. Be a human creator. You are already. Embrace your non-physical that you've already got. Engage it, not offend the labyrinth of your mind, your decider. Then you have every knowledge that's available to you. You don't have to listen to who's saying what about what. You can find out and figure it out for yourself. You can come into your power. And everything that's in your world you created anyway, so you don't have to have all the commentary when you know.
So Aaron says this stuff. He's creating this scenario. It exists because it is thunk.
Well, on his experience, yes.
What is the general area that other people would agree that it's happening, what he is experiencing? Where is that consensus created?
Well, it's from the outer kingdom, Bob.
Yeah.
The outer kingdom says something's going on. Okay. Well, in the outer kingdom, you can bring that into your middle kingdom and make it part of your world if you choose to. But you could also say, not a chance. No. We're good. And then, therefore, it is not in that human's experience.
So this is Aaron McCollum's interpretation of his outer kingdom.
Well, he says it's in his middle kingdom. He said he lived it, what he can recall. He lived it, and then sources outside of himself that shall go unnameless have validated all this documentation to point of that these things that he didn't say exactly what they were or exactly how it works or exactly what it does or what it's really all about, but he's sure it's going on.
Okay, Ed, you know his work, Aaron, and what he said. Can you add something? What does his information lead to? What's his larger point that we haven't heard?
Is there a point? That's the better question.
Where does this interview lead to?
He's just giving information. I can't say that it leads somewhere.
Okay, and the point of this information is that the world may know or that you should go build a bomb shelter. Oh, wait, they still have those from the new fallout shelters. So they should restock those and climb into the ground, and will he let us know when it's time to safely come out and start enjoying creation again? It's presented in such a way, is it a call to arms? Is it to create? Is it to push against? Is it to embrace? Is it to figure out how to get the real good DNA so you don't have to be less than as the state that you're being presented as? Or are we missing something in humble non-physical here?
There must be some point that the interviewer brings out in this. And what you've shown us is the key point he's making, what's going on in the Gulf of Aden. That's his main intelligence.
Many listeners are listening and they're trying to figure out what's being said, and they're picking up the idea of a gate, which Miss Cassidy is calling a stargate.
What do they say is happening?
She says to Aaron, you're talking about a ship in the middle of the water where the stargate is located. And then she says she understands that the stargate is over the body of water. They're trying to understand what a stargate is, what it looks like, and that maybe he has privileged information that he can enlighten us on this stargate and what happens to the ships.
Do they talk about what we're talking about? We're actually telling what's going on.
Well, and a lot of them have heard. They've heard and become enlightened. Maybe that's what jarred their memories.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if we talked about it before January 27th. He might have heard our show. He's not saying that there's more than one stargate. He's saying there's a significant stargate in the Gulf of Aden. And Ion's saying it's just a gate.
It's one of a million.
What is being put out in this community that people are listening to is there are just a limited number of gates, and so they're very significant wherever there is a gate. And what Ion is saying is, no, there are many gates, and you can use these gates. You don't have to have a military. You don't have to have the technology.
You actually do better without the military. Why do you have to have a governing body over your power? That's the point.
And the military, they lost their boat and don't even know why.
And they ain't putting that out yet.
But just for the record, Ion was pointing out that that was the day that Bill Clinton collapsed with a heart problem. And that's because he heard about the disappeared boat and thought it would reflect badly on President Obama and the Democratic Party that under their administration, a major aircraft carrier disappeared. Right, Ion? That's what you were talking about.
We were alluding to, yes.
It's interesting.
But consternation in the powers that be when the powers that be aren't in power.
Let's go into that female scientist, because we talked about her a few weeks before the February 11th story, and he may have heard.
We can give you the bill of particulars.
Okay.
She was that was that innocuous address where the information was hidden that can't be found, wasn't it, Bob?
Yes, Gloucester Street, in Zurich or Bern?
That was in Zurich, and her office was torched, and then she was dead.
Was she aware of the gate and possibility, but exaggerated it?
Well, and she had some documentation from some of the anomalies that take place around the gates. And specifically, her research was based upon individuals who've been through the portals and back, and the shift in their change in their physicality.
The people who were back and forth with parallel world traveling, who were changing their physical structure,
yes.
How did she hear about them?
Well, I'm sure she was listening to Chief Radio. No. This information is not hidden anymore. It's out there. It's available.
Okay, were these people that she was monitoring, they were in the military?
No, not at all.
They were private citizens?
Of course.
Who were doing it like those guys who went into the spiral in Norway, off of Norway?
That's correct.
Right, similar private individuals. But why was she threatened? Why did she die?
She suicided.
And what was she upset about? This information?
Who said she was upset?
Why did the scientist's activity, this woman and her transition, come up in relation to us talking about the disappearing aircraft carrier and the threat?
Well, a marvelous human creator asked about the dynamics of it. We gave the bill of particulars and what it was regarding, and then it sort of whisked away into never-never land, never to be mentioned of again.
Okay, well, the place where her documents were stored were on a street that's hard to find. You can't find it on Google Maps.
Well, most of the creators found it on Google Earth. It wasn't too big a thing. And MapQuest gave them directions to it, even across the Atlantic. But others, it eluded them.
Okay, so was she associated with any military people or some institution?
No, she was not. She was not.
Okay, well, is that leading anywhere, Ed? Sounds like a private person.
It's okay. It's not a problem. It's just that transition process becomes significant. The more and more humans start figuring it out, waking up. Now, we're not saying they're all asleep, but the awakening process of coming into your power, these anomalies stand. If science gets a hold of it, and it can't disprove it. Anything that science doesn't understand is an abomination. So anything that's under the category of abomination, no present U.S. term, reference or pun intended, of an abomination becomes then something that you play with. And if you can disprove it, then it's not. But if they can't disprove it, then it is.
Why are we talking about this woman? I brought her up. She was brought up.
Right.
And it links to this mysterious Glotcher Street, which we don't know anybody who found it, but you claim somebody found Glotcher Street. Nobody found it on Google Maps. Only one person I know looked for it, and they couldn't find it. And you then implied that this street would not be visible because it was significant, what goes on there, what goes on in the buildings there, or in this particular building.
What was stored, the documents that were stored separate from there.
They were stored separate from there? What mean they were stored somewhere else?
That's why they torched it, trying to think they were getting those documents, which had some of the documentation of proof within EEGs and with tests that were done on humans that could show that they were different. And the reason they were different was because of this shift that they went through from parallel worlds.
See, use the phrase, this information was separate from the address. Why are you saying that? It was somewhere else, so why are we talking about that address?
It was there, but they didn't get to where it was torched. They torched the entire office. But this information was in a separate place also, and it was not destroyed. It is still available.
So the information was not in the building that was torched?
Well, it was, but the copy of it was in backup.
So the original was burned up, but the copies are still available?
That's
correct. Oh, okay. The scientist did the measurement?
Sure.
And it inspired her to commit suicide?
Well, to transition, yes.
Because it was something she got inspired to do because of the information? She wanted to go to parallel worlds?
Mm-hmm.
So she was like an amateur, just thought, well, she could have parallel world without committing her suicide, but she took that path. I'm just looking at the dates here. We did a show on January 27th, the day of the Aaron McCollum interview. We did a show on February 3rd, then on February 10th. So I remember the 10th is the day before February 11th. We either forgot or we didn't do it. So we did more on February 3rd, so we may not have done stuff on January 27th, so therefore he did not steal from us. I'm speculating. He did not get these ideas from us. I think he's we were not putting it out on the 27th.
Was Parallel Worlds not mentioned before that reading, before that?
Oh, yeah, no, that's right. There was
then you can add, you can call it a Stargate if you want to, and, you know, an equal portal or body portal or whatever you want to call it, and you just develop it from there if you have the ability to remember.
Do you know if Aaron McCollum had listened to a Cash Flow Wednesday version with you before January 27th?
Not specifically, but we can give you with great authority that many of his confidants have.
There you got it. That wraps it up. His contacts told him. They're the listeners to our show.
And we love and appreciate them dearly.
Okay, Ed, you're going to play the next tape.
You're saying there is genetic engineering going on. What are you talking about? Are you talking about, on a ship? In the middle of the water, or where the Stargate is located, because I understand the Stargate is over the body of water.
It is, and there's witness testimony, and there are images of, they're calling it an anomaly and a huge magnetic field.
I'm just going to stop for a second. Anomaly, Ed? That word's been coined by Ion.
And your field, and then the EMP, and this magnetic resonance that's increased around it, and now it's changed to where they're in the ship studying this anomaly.
Okay, who's studying that? And
we don't know, Bob. That's what his words were.
He says they're calling it an anomaly and a huge magnetic field that is occurring right there at that location. For me, the word anomaly, I never heard it so much until I started talking to Ion. Definitely, the main theme on our shows on cash flow that Ion started with was the huge magnetic field. That's another theme that Ion refers to, correct, Ion?
Of course, but now, to be fair, all we do is we answer the asker. So any human creator, we don't originate this stuff. They ask, and they ask about angels, we'll talk about angels. Whatever it is they want to talk about, we answer it at that point. Because the whole principle or the only reason that it's even required or necessary is anything that brings the human creator back into their very own power, they can decide for themselves. They certainly have the power, they have capacity regarding that. And that's at the end of the day, if that's what's accomplished, hip, hip, hooray, good, we're good, we can go to the beach. We'll play a little more. Is there such a thing, Bob, as backing that up so you can hear that first few seconds that just went through?
Well, I can look at the transcript. I do not see the word study.
Well,
that's what I'm taking issue with.
Ed, they have a ship under the Stargate, and on the ship they are studying the anomalies.
You're saying there is genetic engineering going on. What are you talking about? Are you talking about, on a ship in the middle of the water, or, where the Stargate is located? Because I understand the Stargate is over the body of water.
It is. There's witness testimony, and there are images of, they're calling it an anomaly and a huge magnetic field that is occurring right there at that location. They're calling it an anomaly, they're giving it labels, where the water is actually in a swirling motion. It's actually causing a huge whirlpool effect.
Incredible.
There has been actual sightings, and you can find this online, where they have seen a part of it actually come up. But that's gone away now as far as the sightings, because the area of security zone around it is miles and miles and miles.
Okay, so is there some swirling of water connected to the gates that you're discussing, Ion?
Well, apparently they have a supernatural ship that's in underneath this Stargate, and it's all of a vortex in the ocean that this ship's not sucked into it.
Okay, he's saying
there's a ship underneath the Stargate. And they're looking at it. That's what they're there for, registering, studying this anomaly that's described. Well, now that anomaly turns into a vortex where the water's swirling, 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 swirling. Well, how's the ship staying out of this huge, vast, swirling water under this massive Stargate? But it stopped now. Now they've got the entire miles and miles and miles of the city of Aden blocked off. And I guess the Somalians have got it all barricaded off, so nothing's going through there. So everybody cannot see this that is going on with documented proof. It's on the internet, Bob. It's on the internet. So if it got on the internet, then apparently if someone knew where the Gulf of Aden was and they went to Google Earth, they should be able to go to that space and see that vortex, that hole, or the anomaly thereof, could they not?
In reference to the real gates that you talk about,
yeah,
and when the aircraft carrier went through, was there any whirlpool effect witnessed by anybody?
Oh, good gracious, no.
Okay, so let's move forward to 406 on this recording. So,
you're saying that there is an underwater base in the Gulf of Aden?
Yes.
And that's where you think the genetic engineering is going on?
Absolutely. They're doing similar things that they've been doing for decades at underground bases all over the place. Specifically, they've been doing specific types of DNA research and engineering in a lot of the underwater bases, like, for example, the one that's in the Caribbean, the one that I was at.
Was he at an underwater base in the Caribbean, Ian?
Bob, no.
Okay.
Underwater base. Good gracious.
Is there an underwater base in the Gulf of Aden?
No.
No.
Bob.
There's no genetic engineering going at the non-existent place.
There's no underwater base under the ocean of Aden.
Okay.
Well, I think what's of interest to listeners is it's not just this interview, but they've been hearing from other individuals similar to what Aaron has just said. And that is, for decades, there have been underground bases, and part of what goes on in these underground bases are genetic engineering that are mixing alien DNA with human DNA. Many people who are saying this similar story.
Yeah, I first heard it from Cosmic Awareness, Paul Shockley, back in the early 80s.
What was Cosmic Awareness's take on it?
That it was happening. You remember Dulce? Is it Dulce, New Mexico? D-U-L-C-E?
Yes, Dulce, New Mexico.
And Paul might have been picking up information from John Lear and that group, because they were the first to kind of talk about it. And I don't know if Lear mentioned Dulce. But anyway, his awareness, Cosmic Awareness, said it was in Dulce, New Mexico, D-U-L-C-E, that there were underwater bases. And they even had drawings and sketches on their newsletter of these weird hybrids and alien and MJ-12 kind of interaction. Alien and human, maybe Kissinger, you know, Kissinger and the elites of the Trilateral Commission were interacting with aliens and causing creations. So, Ed, I definitely agree with you. That meme's been around for 25, 30 years.
Yes, exactly right. And it's all based on time, and it's all based on a false premise. Well, don't you find it intriguing that geneticists would spend all of these vast years trying to hook up the DNA of aliens with humans when they haven't even successfully gotten a genotype of regular human DNA? They don't know how the RNA interacts with it now. They haven't divided out the chromosomal impact of even having a small environmental action that affects the entire genome of the structure of human beings. If they're not smart enough to figure out what regular DNA is, how in the name of a sovereign creator do they start mixing alien DNA with it?
Well, the story is that these aliens, who supposedly have superior technology, are instructing our scientists on how to do this.
Well, they're not doing a very good job of communicating then, are they?
Well, maybe they are doing it. They haven't told us.
Yep, they told them how to start the HIV and how to make the pigs fly, how to get harps to wipe out different continents that are overpopulated, and how to make the cloud streams blow people's minds, and how to have the Nephilim come and join in with the humans and the angels and the humans hooking up together, which caused two of the big floods already anyway. Let's go back to the pyramids when they were lining it all up in the Stonehenge and whispered in the Mayans' ears, y'all better get out before it's too late. And all of these things that you're describing, the only place that they fall short of is that they're always developed from the concept of a false premise. They'll take a nickel's worth of something valid and turn it into this great big thing that they can't get there from there. The Fringe series, when they picked up the bubblegum wrapper on the bridge and they picked up, and the message of the day was, you can't get there from now.
The Peter Fines, when he was in Washington State, that would be two shows ago.
We're not pushing against a thing, but we're going to have to be clear. At some point, you've got to come syncing this stuff up. And yes, if you talk about something long enough, you know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Did you hear? I was listening to Achieve Radio, and they said that the sky was falling. And I called Mother Tarot, and she didn't have much to say about it. But we're being cheeky. We love them all. And what we are saying is, if you come into your own power, you won't have to have all this outside ancillary cleanups on aisle five. It'll be clear. You won't have to think about it. You'll know. And you'll have every documentation that you require. Because then if it's in your experience and your reality, and if it serves you to engage with an alien technology, wonderful. If you come into your power, you could go there and visit them anytime, any way you wanted to. And you might find out that they're not very different than you are already, only and except that they understand their power.
It is historical fact, from Ion's perception, that there was a mixing of alien and human DNA with the Nephilim.
Right, of course.
That's spelled out in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. You're doing good now. Finish your little bit that you got left.
The next part goes into time-traveling dolphins.
Okay, so...
So long, and thanks for all the fish. It is great
fun.
I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. It's just too fun, yes.
Here we go.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, I know you have some interesting abilities associated with water. And I remember that dolphins have been used by the military to actually perform feats and to actually do, you know, operations, basically, over by Saudi Arabia and, you know, over in that area. So I'm thinking that with what's going on in the Gulf of Aden, basically there has to be something involving dolphins and possibly other sea animals like whales. But I'm just curious, has there been any information about the dolphins in that area or anything else?
The only information that I have for a fact, which is public information, is that, you know, dolphins are being used in all the waters around the Middle East for reconnaissance missions. They actually have dolphins that are trained that have surveillance equipment that are attached to them for, you know, looking for underwater mines, looking for bombs under piers, even under ships, oil rigs, and even information gathering. They have dolphins that are set up with certain information sound recording equipment that actually can record sound on land that travels via through the water, because sound travels at a much greater distance and can keep its real concentrated frequency much longer underwater than it can in open air. Do I have any information that dolphins are specifically being used in the Gulf of Aden for whatever intents and purposes with this Stargate? No, I don't. But based on my direct work with dolphins, with Project Seagate, I would not be surprised, because dolphins have been discovered because of their frequencies, because of other abilities that dolphins have that people are not aware of. They discovered a while ago, at least I know for at least 20 or maybe even 30 years, that dolphins, because of their frequency, because of what they can do, are almost used as a medium for travel via the Seagate.
Are you talking about time travel?
I'm talking about not just time travel. I'm talking about traveling to other locations in the universe.
How are dolphins used in that regard?
It was found that with the Seagate, frequencies are used to actually put you on the molecular level in a different state. This way your body can actually handle traveling great distances.
I know what you mean. You mean, in other words, if humans are put in contact with dolphins and do what's called in training,
yes,
they get aligned on the same frequency as a dolphin, and that heightens the human awareness such
Absolutely.
That if you then, you know, I'm extrapolating here, but because I've swam with dolphins and I know this happened to me, I'm guessing that's kind of what you mean.
Ion, is the military or any military or any institution using dolphins to facilitate human travel to other parts of the universe or to other universes?
You mean other seas?
Other seas, yes.
That's a Seagate. That's something else. We don't know Seagate unless it's a computer company. And if they are, then someone should call PETA and turn them in because they're violating the dolphins' inalienable rights.
So you don't see dolphins being trained?
No, if they were that smart, why don't we all intend, as marvelous human creators, to become as ascended as the dolphins?
And the interviewer says that using the concept of entraining.
That's what they talk about all the time with the government. Has got the superhumans that run around killing everybody, and they invade your mind, and they plant demon seeds in your head, and you can't remember nothing, and you can't find out nothing. Everything you find out is for their privilege and pleasure. And then the G20 meets and decides how the IMF's going to respond to what the dolphins found in Saudi Arabia. How many dolphins are they in Saudi Arabia?
Is it true that we could align ourselves with the dolphins and train correctly and develop abilities to go to other universes?
And Rottweilers and tabby cats and camels and rattlesnakes. Oh, and don't forget the chickens. Lots of chicken interaction. Maybe you could line up with the chickens and they could tell you things.
Is Project Seagate referring to the Stargate, Ed? You know what Project Seagate is?
This is not explained. This is something that they mentioned they would do another interview with Aaron, and that interview hasn't taken place so far.
He says here that he's worked with dolphins. Has he done that, Ion?
Lots of folks have swam with dolphins. Yeah, I know that. Well, so did Michael Jordan when he learned how to fly like an eagle to the sea. Maybe that's where it's all hooked together.
But you do not see an engaged time with the dolphins, studying them, some project that he was involved in, doing something with them besides just swimming with them.
Well, Bob, you can talk to them and they can squeak back. I mean, they did a series back in the 60s called Flipper. Boy, that was pretty big. Flipper, save the day more times than you can know. Maybe that's where it all spawned. The spawn of Flipper.
This is a Flipper meme here.
Flipper slipped through the sea gate and came to help that family figure out every Matlock series that had to do with anything going on strange. Flipper could tell them where they were shipwrecked, when somebody was hurt, when something was going on bad in the ocean, and Flipper would come and go, and then they got a series for the little ones, SpongeBob SquarePants, and that one got it all so the little ones could catch up with the Seagate. They moved in the underwater world of Bikini Bottom. Maybe that's where they're doing the DNA test in Bikini Bottom. That's it. Maybe. And then catch is catchy, too.
He said,
in a pineapple under the sea, SpongeBob SquarePants.
He says, but based on my direct work with dolphins, with Project Seagate, I would not be surprised. What is Project Seagate as he imagines it? Do you know, Ion?
We have no idea.
Okay, so we're going to the next part.
Now, I have to tell you that last night we had contact with a whistleblower. And this is just one of those synchronicities that goes on in, you know, with Project Camelot. Today we were having this interview with you. This was planned ahead. And last night, inadvertently, we got in touch with a whistleblower who has worked for the military, actually Space Command, and was talking about the Gulf of Aden. I didn't get all the information, even though we talked for like 6 hours, and we will release that pretty soon, that interview. But he was talking about synthetic beings, synthetic robots for all intents and purposes. Project Camelot was in touch with a secret source last night who was talking about synthetic beings and basically, I guess, some form of biological robot that are being created and some which may be also coming here. So I am wondering whether or not the Gulf of Aden is specifically connected with a possible invasion of these synthetic beings. Is there any hookup that you know of in this regard?
There has been talk about it amongst me and some other people that I'm in direct contact with that were part of multiple projects under MKUltra. That's something that we've discussed, but we weren't sure if we really wanted to go public with that just yet, because what I'm saying already and what people are going to say is going to invoke fear. But fear can build strength, and using that fear, turn it around to really find out what's going on.
That fear can build strength, and using that fear, turn it around to really find out what's going on.
The hell you say. No way, Jose. Not a chance, not a clue. No, 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 no. And yes, that's not a new technology. They named her Polly. The synthetic beings. They call her polyester.
That's right, synthetic being. Are there synthetic robots, biological robots, being created by somebody on the planet?
No. Think about it. They're now pining through all this underwater ocean business and all these things that are carrying on and going on with this anomalous whistleblower. And now all of a sudden, your candidate for the interview has moved everything into now we. Gosh, that sounds like us. Instead of I have, or this is, I experienced, I saw it, I touched it, I ate it, I was anally probed by the DNA prototype of the polyester nanobot, and this is what happened to me. And I have DNA in my rectum where I was probed. Okay? And they took me under the water and flipper got me straightened out. And now I can tell you a little bit or what we have decided to release. You see, if you're going to make these claims, fine, make them. If you're going to have it based by something, fine. But then to come back in and say that this fear build strength. Strength of what? Strength of fear? Yes. It does enrich fear. It does indeed. It does indeed. And at the end of the day, if you had everything all worked out and tidied up and straightened out and all solved and done, then at the end of the day, all you got to do is never go in the water, especially in Aden or Uden or Auden. Maybe they're talking about another sea, the odd one, but then that was a couple, the odd couple. So maybe that was it. Phoenix was running around cleaning up everything. Maybe that's the ticket there. Maybe that was the first bots that came along. You got to get this back to the human creator. The flaccid mind that comes up with these details and these things protract. It's the biggest conspiracy theory of all. It's just them trying to prove the conspiracy theory that they're trying to validate. Get it back to the real world. Everybody's talking about the sweet by, and they don't want to face and deal with the dirty here and now. You listen to this stuff and you carry on, and that's all well, good, and wonderful. But if it brings you back into your place of power, we say, hallelujah, brother. Go with it. But if it's now you got to be afraid that you're going to be accused of having bestiality relations with dolphins and that you're going to be run through the bot shop of polyester meals, then you got to come up to a whole nother rumor of a dynamic that has to straighten out. You wouldn't want to leave your house. But don't worry, they know where you are, and they've got the bodies all set up to replace you. So you don't have to go to parallel worlds. We'll just replace you right here, right now. At the fulcrum of all of this dynamic, what do you get? You're lost.
And he says you use this fear to find out what's really going on.
Then that's the problem. They're afraid to find out what's really going on. It's going to make you stronger. We're sorry. We didn't mean to interrupt. That's not our notion of place. But the false premises have to be documented at some place, because the best this can go is ending in tears.
Project Seagate was a major project with a huge underground base location, and they were working on many different sub-projects. Project Seagate is almost like a sub-version of MKUltra. Project Seagate, one location, but had many sub-projects. Everything from the Human Dolphin Super Soldier program to an Omega program where they were making soulless beings for remote viewing and actual, via the Seagate, being able to put people, and yes, this is real people, their astral self, their energy, their soul, into one of these robots for covert operations, so that if the body gets killed, they are able to extract and put it in.
So they're taking soulless beings for remote viewing. You ever heard of the Omega program?
To Canaan's land, I'm on my way where the soul never dies. Wait, sorry, we digress.
Okay. The Omega program, you know about that?
As opposed to the Alpha one?
Yeah. They were making soulless beings for remote viewing. And actual via the Seagate, which we've established, we don't know what it is or it doesn't exist, being able to put people, yes, it's real people, their astral self, their energy, their soul, into one of those robots for covert operations. You ever seen any of that?
Not even on Gene Roddenberry's version of reality.
So that if the body gets killed, they're able to extract and put it in. What do you think of that?
Well, why would they have these synthetic bots if they're able to kill them? What's the point? Why don't they make them better? So that they become impervious to everything. If they have a soul, they have the residue of the unquieted dead in this machinery. Now, some of that's not too far off, but not the way he's talking about it. You can have Grandma's flower pot jump off the shelf and hit the floor and bounce and do all kinds of fun things, but that has to do with just energy flow. There's a larger dynamic that you could fit some of these wordy words in regards to, but not from some super dynamic government. If the government was this well put together, why in the world couldn't they govern themselves?
So you see in the future that we will be able to put souls, which are physical afterprints, after images of our physical lives, they might be able to put them inside chip landscapes?
You already can do that. You can walk into a room and smell your grandmother's perfume now. Without it being evident around you, you can sense that. So does that mean that grandma's perfume could then be imbued into some chair or some afghan or a piece of an old ratty fur coat that she had that smells like her? Well, of course. But that's just the residue. If you had the soul in a bot, what would that do? They could pray for you. Souls don't have power.
Well, that's why they put them in a bot, so they could get a little power.
Well, and if they did put them in a bot, that's wonderful. And I'm sure a soul, a residue on the earth, wouldn't have a problem living in a bot.
If people knew that Ion is communicating through JW's computer when it's not even hooked up to anything, there's no battery in it, but still broadcasting YouTube, which you can hear on our site, you could say that Ion is non-physical, is merged with JW's computer.
Of course. But that doesn't mean that if there was carnal relations with dolphins, nor Seagate, nor bots, nor polyester, or any of her lineage, there was no DNA representations that were alien in nature, unless you're talking about those from not from the country in which they were born alien. From that dynamic or place that this world is now watching closely, because you're like the cockroaches from space that are going to come eat you up and devour you, what's the point?
Now, he says he has people he knows that this has happened to.
You know, people can do, be, or have anything they want to be. They can be victims. They can be probed. If the dolphins are the answer, let's get busy. Let's start mating them up. Let's hook up. Everybody should have one. Get you a cement pond and a dolphin so they can tell you what's going on. And open up the sea gates and work the drains in your house so you can slip down the rabbit hole anytime you require it. But instead, it's all these projected little dots here and little dots there and little dots here. And then they're well guarded and protected by the Somalian pirates, so you can't get to them. That's the only dynamic. If that good, let's apply it. Is there any good in it? Let's take that good and bring it home.
Well, the point they make is that the elites have hijacked it and using it for themselves and not helping everybody. You have a general Jeremy Bentham utilitarian philosophy that the greater good for the greatest amount, that could be hijacked.
Well, it's not working out very well for Bear Stearns.